Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome to episode 213, I think, 214. Ugh, I almost had it, of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady. You guys are in for a very, very special fucking treat today. This is a very special episode. Let me just first and foremost say that I am joined by Bridget from Little Trash 2004. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited that you're back.
I know. Thanks for having me back on.
I told you I would.
I know, you didn't lie. You brought me back.
When I was like trying to figure out things that I wanted to talk about this week, and I was like, I kind of want to do another VMA episode, and you were literally the first person that comes to mind. Like, I couldn't think of a better equipped person to do this with.
Thank you so much. Seriously, award shows are cracked me. Like I told you, like I'm obsessed with them. I've always been, so I'm super excited.
I understand that. This was like, growing up for me, award shows were like what, like people who grew up in like sports families, like that's what this was for us. Like for my mom, the VMAs was like the Super Bowl.
Oh, me too. My dad and my brother had like the Super Bowl. My mom and I had like American Idol and award shows.
Like violently texting on your on your flip phone to vote for Sanjaya.
My singular.
So we are doing the 2000 VMAs today, and so I did a VMA episode with my friend Russ Martin, and I thought the 2001 VMAs were really fun. It was a fun award show to watch. This one, I'm going to say, is like one of the best award shows just in the history of award shows.
Oh, it's messy. It's great.
It's like, it's messy in that way that MTV wishes they were still messy.
Oh yeah. They created moments with this, and MTV like knew what they were doing.
Yeah. So do you remember watching this as a kid? Does this like, do you remember this specific one?
I think it was the first one I can remember because I was 8 years old. So it was like very early on, but like I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. This was like, I was super young. So I don't remember what grade I was. Well, it's the year 2000. It was like pre-high school. So I think I would have been like in middle school. And like early middle school. But I remember just like everybody talking about, obviously Britney was like a huge deal. Everybody was talking about that. That's kind of like the thing that I remember the most, is the conversation surrounding Britney.
Yeah. And of course, like the, you know, Limp Bizkit Rage Against the Machine thing. That was a huge thing.
Yes. Oh, as there's a 5150 going by my house right now, by the way. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, there were just so many iconic moments. I mean, Diddy and J-Lo, like this was a real lightning in a bottle, specific award show year. And I don't know, I just feel like the year 2000 is so specific as far as the entertainment industry goes, because it was the industry was exploding in this new way. Cause there was like this new class of people showing up, and obviously they were like grabbing the torch from the previous generation. But the year 2000 is cool because, you know, you did have people like the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Britney and all these like these new kids, but also like the old hats were still in the game. Like,
yeah, there was something for everyone. Like you said, there was like Britney, Christina, NSYNC, then there was like the rappers like Eminem, Dr. Dre. And then there were kind of like the rock people, like Rage Against the Machine, Red Hot Chili Peppers. There was something for everyone in the show, which I feel like nowadays it's like kind of a lot of the same.
Yeah, it's a real big mashup kind of blur where it's hard to even know what to categorize people. It's hard to know what awards to nominate them for because they all could kind of be the same award. Yep. And yeah, in the year 2000, you still had people like Whitney and Mariah and Madonna and Prince and Janet still like creating culture defining music. But you also had this new class of people, and it was just like a fun, it was just, we really were like super lucky. Like we really had the best of all the worlds.
We really did. Yeah, it was such a great show.
So this award show starts off right out the gate, just fucking hardcore. It's hosted by the Wayans brothers, which I love.
Me too. Me too.
I love the Wayans brothers.
I had a crush on them when I was little. Like, oh my God, I thought they were so cute.
Did you have a favorite?
I liked Sean. I thought he was cute.
Yeah. I was a Marlon girl, a Marlon Giddle.
Yay. He's so goofy.
I know. I love a goofy string bean, like wacky, like wacky guy. But no, he was, they were just like really, I don't know, I miss them. Watching them host this show made me miss their humor.
Yeah, me too. Like they were just, they didn't take it seriously, which they shouldn't. Like yeah. It was perfect.
Yeah, they were just cutting enough that it was like funny, but they weren't like cruel to anybody.
Exactly.
The previous year, Jamie Foxx was like literally cruel. Like he like made fun of JC Chazé's sobriety.
Yeah, and like Chris Rock has always been like just an asshole to everyone with his like opening and yeah.
Yeah.
Just, they had fun with it.
Did I say JC Chazé?
Yeah. Oh, do you mean AJ?
What? I have JC on the mind.
All these boy banders.
I have a lot to say about JC later.
Me too.
Is it Marlon that, or no, it's Sean that comes out in Chris Rock drag? Yes. And he just starts fucking ripping everybody apart. I wrote down some of his opening jokes. He said, we've got a lot of last year's winners in the audience. NSYNC, the Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears. Oops, she did it again. What the fuck did she do? What did she do the first time? Britney was not feeling it at all.
I was watching like the reactions from the audience and I was like, wait, this is like last year's audience. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did catch
that. So it must have been like a recorded bit. Because I was like, Britney wore that last year and like all these things makes no sense.
Yeah, they edited in like this a stank face from Britney last year when Jamie Foxx was really mean.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on here?
I was like, wait a minute, this is super weird. Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah.
I forgot to write that down.
It's a weird open.
At one point, he said, we've got Destiny's Child here. With their new hit song, Say My Name. Every time we learn one of your names, you kick the bitch out of the group. He said, your name should be temporary.
I like when he said, oh, look, there's Eve. Wait, it's Cisco.
Because like the accuracy.
Yeah, same hair.
Right. And I love too when he said, he goes, he like points to Jennifer Lopez and Diddy. And at this particular moment, obviously, they are the most talked about couple in the entire globe. Diddy had just gotten in trouble with the law. And he goes, how can you mention rap without mentioning my man P. Diddy, Sean John, Sean Puffy Combs? He goes, you got in a little bit of trouble this year, huh? You went out and hired Johnny Cochran. Come to think of it, you didn't hire Johnny Cochran. You sampled OJ's defense team. And everybody was like, ooh. Yeah.
Burn.
And then a bunch of celebrity lookalikes come out and like attack him. There's like a fake Britney and a fake
J-Lo ass.
Yeah, it's like a very clear blonde white woman with padding in her ass, like sitting on his head.
So stupid.
So dumb. Such Wayans brothers humor, but like so slapstick, and I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Like they brought their own flavor to it.
Yeah, it's real like falling on a banana peel kind of humor, but I love it.
Yeah.
So then at the very beginning of the award show, our first award, which was very jarring for me because I had to like get in the mindset of like, what is the temperature in the year 2000? And Blink-182 beat Destiny's Child, NSYNC, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers for best group video.
And yeah, can you believe?
Yeah, I was just like, wow, this is so telling of like where we were.
I know, but I feel like back then they did focus like on the video a little more, like, because that was a really good video. Was it all the small things?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, that's such a good video. But I feel like now it's just like whoever the biggest group is would win.
Exactly. It's, yeah, now it's definitely much more like, you know, like Doja Cat paid, so it's paid MTV to like get some award, and now totally. She's getting it. She's getting like a lifetime achievement award after releasing a single album. You know? and then The Rock and Kid Rock present an award together. The Rock is still very much a wrestler.
Isn't it crazy to see like where they were then and like where they are now? It's wild to me.
And like that nobody in the room knows like what will happen with them, any of them.
Oh yeah. And now The Rock is like the highest paid actor, and Kid Rock is like, who cares? Nowhere to be found.
Right. And he was such a focus of this award show. And I was like, my God, like Kid Rock was so famous.
Yeah. Can you believe? Like, oh,
so weird.
Disgusting.
The Rock is giving the fucking people's eyebrow or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called? Yeah. And he's wearing gold lame, a gold lame, like basically a Chippendales vest.
Yeah. Like a Spirit Halloween costume, basically. Like,
yeah. Like it looks like he's going to rip the pants away and be wearing like a tuxedo thong.
Oh yeah. And then Kid Rock tries to be like, oh, I liked the NSYNC commercial better than the Backstreet Boys. Like, no one cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And that, I have a lot to say about that. I'm going to get your take here in a minute on just like the obsessive like beating down of the pop groups and how dependent these fucking men were on the controversies surrounding these like mostly teenage girls.
It's gross. Yeah. Like, this entire show was the Fred Durst, Christina, and Carson Daly show. It's disgusting.
Oh my God. It was such a fucking like dick slinging competition.
Oh. Yeah. About like 19-year-old girls. Like,
yeah. Ugh. Like, who can like say the meanest thing about Christina Aguilera and then like give daps to the audience? Like,
yeah.
It was really gross. The Best New Artist video nominees were Cisco, Papa Roach, Christina Aguilera, Pink, and Macy Gray. And the winner, I know, and the winner was Macy Gray, because this is when we thought Macy was going to be the next like Lauryn Hill.
Oh, I know. Oh, poor Macy. And that parody they did of her.
Oh, so my mean. God. Like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Like, you expect that from the Wayans brothers, but watching it in 2021, like, ugh.
I know. And then she's expected to just be like, to like laugh off a skit thinking about her vagina.
Yeah. Award shows. She gave them like the hard middle finger, like, no.
And then out of nowhere, a closeted, bleached, blonde, highlighted Ricky Martin cascades up on the stage to present Best Female Video. And the nominees, you guys, I could melt into a puddle right now. Are Aaliyah for Try Again, Britney for Oops I Did It Again, Christina for What a Girl Wants, Macy Gray for I Try, and Toni Braxton for He Wasn't Man Enough. Oh my, I have goosebumps.
Toni had my vote. That's one of my favorite videos ever. He Wasn't Man Enough. So I love that video. I used to watch like every night before bed. It was like my soothing like video.
It's so good. It's one of those good like Y2K, there's no theme here, but there is a weird theme.
There's just looks, there's dancing, and that's all I need. There's Tamar Braxton in the video.
Yes! Tamar doing background. Oh my God. Speaking of, just as a complete side note, I don't know if you know this or not, but I was like doing a weird YouTube Tamar thing the other day, and somebody sent me the isolated vocals of Lady Gaga's Born This Way. Have you ever heard this?
Maybe a while ago, but I know like Tamar and Gaga used to like hang out because of Vince, but is she in the background? Oh my God.
She's the entire song.
Fuck. Oh my God.
Like all the high notes are her. The entire song from the beginning to the end, she's singing the entire song.
I need that. I need to hear it like now.
I will send it to you as soon as we are done. It floated me off the ground.
Incredible.
But anyway, yeah, so Aaliyah, of course, wins for Try Again because duh. And this is the year that she wore that iconic Roberto Cavalli dress with the slit up the side. And in her acceptance speech, she says that she flew 21 hours because she's currently filming a movie called Queen of the Damned. I can't take it.
Like chills.
I can't actual take chills. It. It's too much. It really is too much.
And it still pisses me off. Ricky Martin pronounces her name Aaliyah. Like, she was very famous at this point, Ricky Martin. Like, come on.
And, like, Ricky was, like, known at this point for, like, getting the party started or whatever, you know? So he, like, came out and had to do, like, can you feel it? Are you ready? For, like, no like, reason.
Fist bumping and, like, raising his hands up.
I was like, God damn it, what a time to be alive. And he looked... I mean, he doesn't age. He looked incredible.
Oh, amazing.
The best male video nominees were D'Angelo for How Does It Feel, Eminem for The Real Slim Shady, Kid Rock for Cowboy, Moby for Natural Blues, and then Ricky Martin for Shake Your Bon Bon. Eminem won 90 VMAs
this year. Like, I was so sick of seeing his, like, bleach blonde, ugly hair. God.
And then him getting up there and acting like he is, like, too cool for all of it. Like,
yeah,
fuck off.
With the fake pills falling out of his sweatpants. Oh, my God. Enough.
Yeah, he tried to do, like, a bit where he was like, oh, like, I have an acceptance speech. And then he reached in his pocket and, like, all of these pills fell out. But, like, nobody laughed because nobody in the audience could see what it was.
Yeah, and Wyclef was behind him like, what? Like, he was just so confused.
Yeah, Wyclef looked down and slowly backed up because there were pills falling everywhere. And he was like, okay.
Staying out of this.
right. yeah, and then there's like, this is the first moment where it turns into like the boys club because Eminem like, is accepting his award and the camera makes sure to immediately go over to Fred Durst, who is waiting for his moment. And he looks into the camera and winks and gives a thumbs up.
Oh yeah. The thumbs up.
Eminem winning. Cause they both fucked Christina or whatever. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. That was the first moment of like the whole show going on. I'm like, I can't. No.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, is this
these two
entire time? These fucking douchebags. I would say the most, year 2000 award show moment maybe ever is Carson Daly coming out and explaining how difficult it is every day for him to navigate all these fandoms. And he's like, I gotta, you know, be nice to the Backstreet Boys kids and I gotta be nice to the NSYNC kids and whatever. And then he announces the founder of Napster at this award show, this man who has single-handedly ruined all these people's lives for a little while.
Like, and he's like 19.
Yeah, he's like some teenage fucker and he's wearing a Metallica shirt to be an asshole because Metallica very famously fought Napster. So like, and this was like a fun moment though because it was like, oh yeah, this, it's like it was tense and kind of awkward, and that was like the feeling of the VMAs.
Yeah, exactly, like just creating moments and like this is gonna be in the paper tomorrow. Yeah. And then he's wearing the Metallica shirt and Carson's like, oh, I like your shirt. And the Napster kid's like, yeah, it was my friend's, but I borrowed it.
Right. And Carson like is super uncomfortable, like doesn't want any part of what's happening.
Yeah, he's like, okay, we got to get off stage.
He's like, let's move on from this immediately. Yeah, and it, like you said, it was like a moment for the papers. It was a moment for like the magazines. It was a moment maybe for Carson to talk about tomorrow in TRL. But it wasn't like they were doing things to become viral. So it feels authentic.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because like with social media now, like if this were to happen, like Metallica and Napster Kid could like fight on the internet, but like that can't happen back in 2000. So this was like their one chance.
Yeah. And I should mention, by the way, I did the performances separate because I figured it would be easier to just kind of do the performances at the end.
Yeah.
So we can talk about the moments and then we'll get into the performances because there's a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And I also had no idea. I mean, we'll talk about it later, like I just said, but I had no idea that the Napster guy, like, introduced Britney.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that so weird?
I was like, wow, it's so weird how well I know just this 5 minutes of this award show, like,
yeah,
her performing. There's really a really, really uncomfortable moment with Giselle and Lenny Kravitz. Can we talk?
No. Oh, first, like, they put all the hot people together for presenting. Like,
right,
it was Giselle and Lenny Kravitz, and it was like J-Lo and D'Angelo. They just, like, hot people stay together.
Yes.
But yeah,
abs, this was abs.
Yeah, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, so they come out. Lenny's like, seems like he's like stoned off his ass and doesn't know where he is. And he's like, Giselle, I heard the other day in Rolling Stone magazine that you ran into me in a club. And it's weird because I've never met you before. And Giselle's like, yeah, I heard that too. She goes, it must be some mistake. And she goes, this is our first time meeting. It's like Giselle's first award show bit. And Lenny goes, he goes, it can't be true because I'm a perfect gentleman and I would never hate on you, because I guess it was reported that they hated on each other or something. And then he just out of nowhere walks towards her, grabs her by her waist, pulls her into his like crotch and is just grinding on her back. And that's the bit.
Yeah. Grabs her entire body, like just pulls her in. Like, wouldn't we all love to be her? But like, no, time and place.
Right. Right. I was like, wait, I don't get the joke, but I'm uncomfortable as fuck.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, no. Yeah. What is going on?
Yeah. She's like, why don't we now present the award? She's like scooting away. would never happen now. I was like, oh.
Oh, there's a lot of moments where I'm like, ugh, this could not happen now.
Right. And then before he like presents the award or whatever, he says, Zoe, go to bed. I thought that was
no.
Really cute.
Oh, I thought, oh, can you believe that, like, Zoe Kravitz?
I know, baby Zoe. So he presents the best hip hop nominees, and it's Juvenile for Back That Thing Up, Lauryn Hill for Everything Is Everything, Limp Bizkit for In Together Now, and Q-Tip for Vibrant Young Thing. Cisco won this award. Cisco beat Lauryn Hill in an award show.
Honestly, iconic. I love Cisco.
Me too.
I love him. I have a lot to say in his performance.
I am so happy about that, because me too. I was like, Cisco can at least say, people will make fun of him for whatever, you know, for him being 3 feet tall and having one hit. But you know what? He beat Lauryn fucking Hill at the VMAs.
On a hip hop award. Yeah. And yeah, this is one of the years where they did like a hip hop award and then like a rap award. Like they right, separated them. But good right, for Cisco.
I know. I was like, okay. And of course he fell up the stairs. Invented falling up the stairs. Jennifer Lawrence could never.
Cisco's the true queen. I love her.
Literally. The best pop nominees are Blink-182 for All the Small Things, Britney Spears for Oops, I Did It Again, Christina Aguilera for What a Girl Wants, Destiny's Child for Say My Name, and NSYNC for Bye Bye Bye. NSYNC wins, and they bring Darren from Darren's Dance Grooves on stage!
Darren's Dance Grooves, oh my god.
I was like, yes! I was like, I know that those abs I've seen many times.
I think this was one of my first moments where I realized Justin was so annoying when he's like, we got a moon, and like, you know, typical Justin. Ugh. Like, can't.
So much can be said about this moment, because so they win and Justin is like you said, being so obnoxious, is doing his like, look at me, I'm funny, like,
yeah, I can he has a Kylo Kujay's coat, like he's just too yeah, much.
He's like peak noodlehead too, like his hair is fully permed, and he and it's so funny because JC is like patiently waiting with his arms crossed on the podium, waiting politely for his moment to, you know, thank God or whatever, and he literally is staring at Justin waiting for him to eventually stop fucking talking, and he never does. And then JC at the end just goes, well, that I guess that's all we have to say. Thank you. Like, you fucking douche.
He did like a Forrest Gump impression. He was like, that's all I gotta say about that. Like,
he did.
Because I was like, what the fuck did he just say? I rewound that part a million times. Like, he's wearing a floor length fur coat.
As
God,
one
I
does.
Love JC. I know him so much.
So he's so beautiful.
I know. And you're right. He's just waiting there, letting Justin act a fool. And he's like, I'll wait. I will wait.
Yeah. He was so polite. He literally crossed his arms. A gentleman.
Yeah. And then Lance is like, I want to thank the media. Like, what?
You're right.
Like, what the fuck, Lance?
Lance is like in the back jumping up and down. So then there's best rap video. And the nominees, and I thought this was great that they separated it like this. I actually really liked it.
Yeah.
It was DMX for Party Up, Dr. Dre, Forgot About Dre, Eminem for The Real Slim Shady, and Eve for Love Is Blind. Of course, Dr. Dre and Eminem won because MTV was inside Eminem's anal cavity this entire night. It's like, Jesus. Then we get an Ananda Lewis, Aaliyah. moment on the stage.
I squealed. Oh
god,
two of the most gorgeous women,
and like they complement each other so well. Like they looked like they were like in a like a little girl group.
Yeah, and it looks like they've been best friends for like so long, like the way they were just playing off each other, and like,
yeah,
they were so cute.
I know, that's a friendship that I would have loved to have seen like on TV.
Oh, for sure, because I feel like they kind of like ran in the same circles and like hung out with the same people.
Yeah, when I was like recently looking at pictures of Ananda Lewis, because I like have 90 million photos of her saved on my phone like a creep. You can relate. Nobody
my
can
Google
relate
photos.
Yeah.
My Google photos are crazy.
Outrageous. yeah, I was like, oh, there's so many pictures of her and Aaliyah, and like they just seemed like such a fun little kiki. But yeah, and she I mean they both looked incredible, but like, and I've already talked about the Cavalli dress, but Ananda Lewis is wearing the coolest, most Y2K outfit I've ever seen.
Yeah, because so many people like tried to do like the Y2K look. Like Pink looked a mess that night.
Oh my God.
Eve, I love Eve to death, but she looked kind of crazy. But Ananda Lewis like pulled it off perfectly.
Yeah, she's wearing these like yellow and blue tie. I posted it on my Instagram, but these yellow and blue like tie-dyed pants. And they were like cut in all these really unique ways, and of course there were a gold belly chain involved, and
yeah, like the chain link like Paris Hilton top.
Yes. Oh, and like a really cool floor length coat with like a fur line. Like she just looked, she's so beautiful.
Yeah, so effortless.
Yeah, I miss her.
Me too. And what was funny is they were introducing NSYNC and they were like, yeah, these masculine men.
Yeah, what was that? I was like, what's going on?
They're like, you call them a boy band, but they're masculine.
Yeah. Aaliyah's like, okay, bring out these masculine boys. I was like, what is the bit? I keep missing the bits, by the way. I'm like, I don't get any joke that's happening tonight. So yeah, so then D'Angelo and Jennifer Lopez present the award for Best Rock Album. And it really, that moment, we have to have the Jennifer Lopez conversation. Now's the time.
Oh, yes.
Are you ready? Because it hit me over the head like a fucking brick when she walked out. And I was like, wow, we were living in Jennifer Lopez's world. Like,
oh, totally. Like when you think of like a Jennifer Lopez, like Halloween costume, like this is the outfit people wear. Like,
yes,
the all white Sean John and like rhinestones across the chest and like, yeah, the rhinestone like headband.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
She was in a world, a moment of world domination.
Yeah. This award, oh, for show. Sure.
And, you know, we are a year out from the Latin explosion. And, you know, she had this massive debut. She's dating Diddy. They're all over the fucking news. Her body has wreaked havoc on the world. Yeah. I mean, suddenly everybody was like, oh, asses. Huh.
Yeah. She like created Google Images, like
literally, like she is. I mean, just seeing her walk out on stage in that iconic white outfit, like, and it was like you could tell she like knew her power. Like, Yeah. She just felt very like, oh, it was just so cool. I was like, God,
it was
what a
so
good time.
Like of the time, because if someone wore that now, it would just be like, oh, they're wearing like jeans and a crop top to the VMAs. Like it wouldn't mm-hmm. mean anything. But back then, like it was insane that she was wearing that.
Right. Totally. Even the fact that her headband was rhinestone, like at that moment was new.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know? The best rock video nominees were Creed for Higher, Kid Rock for Cowboy, Korn for Falling Away From Me, Limp Bizkit for Break Stuff, and Metallica for I Disappear, and also Rage Against the Machine for Sleep Now in the Fire, essentially my American Horror Story Coven Hell was the rock video nominees.
Yeah.
This is my limbo.
Yeah, I used to like take a shower or like do something else when like this was happening. Like whenever right. something I didn't like was performing, like, all right, I'll take my shower now.
I'm like, they didn't say Kid Rock, did they?
Yeah. Huh. I'm gonna go to snack. Yeah.
Suddenly hungry. The winner was Limp Bizkit. And yeah, it's just funny, like what you said earlier, like what they would consider rock. I mean, what do you even consider rock now? Like, what would that even be?
I know. I don't even know.
I literally can't think of anybody. Like, I can't think of five people or groups that would be like in a rock category at the VMAs. I literally don't know.
Yeah. Like maybe a few years ago, like Kings of Leon, like those mm-hmm. type of bands. But now, like, I can't even think of one.
Yeah. We're in such a weird time for music.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get the iconic moment, because Limp Bizkit wins. And this is where we get the iconic moment where the bassist from Rage Against the Machine like goes up and protests Limp Bizkit's award. And it's a moment where Fred Durst says like, it's funny that we're up here because we're the most hated rock band in the world right now. And I was like, oh yeah, they were kind of like the Kesha of rock for a while.
Oh yeah. I remember, so I was like 8, my brother was like 15 or 16 at the time, and he loved Limp Bizkit. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh, they're a cool band, my brother likes them. But like right. now I realize that like everyone hated them and they were like a joke.
Right. Yeah. I honestly forgot. I was like, because you know, sometimes you're like, no, I just hated them. Like everybody yeah. loved them and I couldn't fucking stand them. But I was like, no, they were like very much made fun of. Like they really did have kind of like a Kesha vibe where it's like, you're ruining the music industry. By yes. existing.
And I feel like when he jumped up on that thing, like no one noticed for a good like minute and a half. Like I yeah. feel like if this were to happen now, they would like cut to a commercial break. They would like yes. cut to someone else. Like they let that go on for a long time.
You're right. If anything really did happen, like anything not like so grossly planned out and fake would happen now, they would like cut it because they wouldn't be able to like, they wouldn't know how to handle it.
Right. And like, they don't know what he's going to do. They don't know if he's going to jump from there. Like they have no clue. And right. like Limp Bizkit was just like, jump, jump. And the right. audience starts screaming, jump. Like, what?
And then it got really intense when he started swinging really hard back and forth on these man-made like art decoration things. Like yeah. these plastic beams that, I mean, he was like literally like flailing back and forth trying to I guess break them.
I watched like a behind the scenes kind of thing, so I was like, I want to know like what this guy has to say about it. And right. he was like, I just wanted to like break the structure and cause chaos. Like he was just straight up about it.
It's amazing. I mean, even the moment when he like walks up to the stage, like you can see him standing on the backs of chairs, like walking through people's seats
yeah
get up on stage, and nobody knew he was gonna go up there.
J-Lo like has no clue, she's oblivious.
Right. Yeah. And it was such a I was like, wow, this was such a peak. Like this is what it felt like to watch the VMAs. It was kind of like if you blink something really crazy might happen.
Yes,
you know. It was,
and that's
just so
why
exciting.
I love award shows. Yeah.
And I do have to say really quickly, like this was the Kid Rock show for whatever reason, and I was looking at him thinking like, my God, like this is peak like rockabilly Kid Rock or whatever. And knowing what I know about him now and knowing that he like came from this like millionaire family, did you know that he's like a wealthy fucker?
Yeah, but his whole thing was like, oh, I'm poor and I have a mullet, like
right. Like, he's dressing up as a poor person. He's doing poor presenting drag. I'm like, it hits very cringe. Different. And like all these dumb hillbillies that actually think that he's relatable. I'm like, he's a trust fund kid.
Yeah. He's just hit it pretty well from like the dumb hillbillies.
Right. So funny. Yeah, this whole award show, he's like carrying around a bottle of Jack. I'm like, this is drag. You can call it what you want, but baby, you're in drag.
That's drag.
You props.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So then the best R&B album nominees were Destiny's Child for Say My Name, Brian McKnight for One, Toni Braxton for He Wasn't Man Enough, D'Angelo for How Does It Feel. Destiny's Child won their first VMA. And I know that this is off topic, but I just have to say, I was also reminded of how fucked up it was that MTV wouldn't give Britney a fucking Moon Man for 10 years. God damn, how petty.
She gives you the most amazing performances, puts like her heart into every performance, and you can't give her one. Like,
are you kidding? And you suck these videos dicks. Like,
oh yeah,
you have made these music videos a part of your whole sort of thing.
Yeah, she's number one on TRL like every single day, and you can't give her an award.
What was that about? Like, I still don't know if I understand that.
Me either. I honestly have no clue. I wonder if there's like something behind it. I don't.
It's so weird because she's nominated for almost every category, but she never wins anything. But yeah, so Destiny's Child won a VMA. And in our last VMA episode, Russ did not agree with me, but I very boldly state, and I will say it again, that I am a huge fan of Tina Knowles' works.
As am I.
I am a fan.
It's camp. I love Tina Knowles' original. I love it.
It's literally couture.
Yes. She, like the leather corset with the rhinestones, and she makes them look just so cohesive, but gives them different looks. Kelly was always wearing a pant. Kelly never got to wear a dress.
It's so true. Or like a short.
Yeah.
Pants are a short. Yeah, it was just so, like you said, they're all so cohesive, and it's like she'll take one idea, like leather and rhinestones, and like that's the look.
Yes. And
it's so good.
And it's like it's camp, but it's like elevated a little bit. It's so good.
Yeah, there's a sense of humor about it where they're like, well, like we know that we're a girl group, like, yeah, I always like, think
we're
about
matching.
Right, because we have to, because that's our thing. I always think about their Boy Scouts look. And like that is such pure Destiny's Child at peak camp.
Yes. Oh my God, it's so good. And I think this is Beyonce's, is it her first VMA like ever?
Yeah.
That's wild. Cause now she has like 25 VMAs.
I know. And I have to constantly remind myself that there was a time when like, you know, Beyonce was like a human. Like Beyonce was just like a human person at an award show, and not like a god who we have to summon and then send back into heaven when she's done.
Yeah, like she would do like interviews on the red carpet, or like she would even be like the one interviewing on the red carpet. Like,
yeah,
it's a different person. It's crazy.
I know. I miss her. I say it all the time.
I know. I love Beyonce, but I just like miss like her in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I miss her personality. Like,
I
miss hearing her like crack jokes and like be awkward and just like silly. Yeah, and then, so, I guess, like, now that I'm doing these, I'm gonna do these a lot, and I should point out that there's always at least one intensely homophobic joke at every VMAs, up until, I guess, like, a couple years ago.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And this year, the one that stood out the most, there was a few, but the one that stood out the most was the Wayans brothers presenting China, the wrestler, who I know that you and I both love, Jody Lohmeyer. We're both big fans of China.
I love her so much.
Icon, like, truly made this real life what it is. I will go on record. So Jody Lohmeyer and Richard Hatch from Survivor are about to come out and present, or yeah, present like a performance or whatever. And they literally said, this next girl can wrestle any guy in the audience, and this next guy would love to. Richard Hatch and Jody Lohmeyer. Okay.
Yeah. And if, like, what?
Like, what? Okay. So he wants to fuck every man that he walks by because he's gay? Yeah. Okay.
I liked their little, like, thing together. They were cute.
They were cute. They did a little bit, and then Jody pretended to beat him up, and she ripped her pants because she's so strong.
Strong queen. I just love when he's like, kiss my white, big, hairy ass. She's like, I want to kick your white, big, hairy ass. Like, karate chops him. Oh, yeah. God, I miss her.
She killed it. She killed the bit because it's, like, her job to do those bits, you know?
Yeah. She put, like, all her personality into it, and she had, like, the American flag corset.
Yes.
She is such a legend. Oh, my God.
She looked so gorgeous, and it was just so cool that she, like, her, like, fucking muscle thighs ripped through her pants. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, Jody. Then we got a Viewer's Choice Award presented by Lil' Kim and Big Pussy from The Sopranos. I also know that you and I are both big Sopranos heads.
Yes. Watching that back, I'm like, I love them together. They were so cute. What a cute duo.
They were so cute together. I was like, oh my God, this is the buddy cop film I never knew I wanted.
Right? Oh my God. That needs to happen.
And you guys, this is the year that Lil' Kim wore, like, basically a Marvel costume to the award show. It's like this caged red, like, latex bra and, like, a giant collar with a cape and little shorts.
It was giving, like, slutty firefighter Halloween costume, but I loved it. Yes. I loved it.
Yes. Oh, God. Fucking Kim.
I think the year before, that was when she had, like, the pasty on and Diana Ross. Like, yeah. So I feel like she was, like, trying to, like, top it a little bit.
Yes, for sure. And she always did.
Oh, yeah. She always found a way to have her boobs out. And that's amazing. Impressive.
And then we get a Viewer's Choice Award. Oh yeah, I just said that. Presented by them. So it was Eminem, NSYNC, Christina, and Cisco. Who won the Viewer's Choice Award? I don't even think I wrote it down.
NSYNC.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They won again.
Then we get the iconic moment where Britney and Christina walk out holding hands.
Yes.
Oh, and they make the joke about Eminem, and they
anyways,
Christina giving Bratz doll up on stage.
Yes, and I love that they come out to that song, I Know What Boys Like. I always think of that.
I know, like, it's perfect.
Whenever I hear that song, I just think of Britney and Christina walking out.
It's so funny. I've always said that, like, Christina and Britney's relationship is very, like, how they present is, like, Britney is, you know, like, the good girl whose parents are, like, Baptist and Southern. And then Christina's, like, her wild cousin from, you know, Pennsylvania or wherever she's from, who, like, drinks wine coolers, you know?
That is perfect.
She's, like, getting her to be bad. Like, she gets her to smoke cigarettes in the garage.
Yeah. And shit. I was like, go make out with boys at the ravine and, like, drink wine.
Yeah. She's like, twerking, Britney. Twerk. Give him a lap dance. He'll like it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they, and they, of course, immediately panned to Fred Durst, and then they, right after, panned to Eminem and Kid Rock. It was like, Jesus, get over it. And they present Peak. And I know that you love this era of Whitney too, like the looks.
Oh my God, yes.
Peak Y2K aesthetic Whitney Houston. Like, I mean, let's talk for a second, because she's wearing
purple leather pants. Incredible. And then, like, a white lined fur like vest or something. And then her classic little Whitney wig, like,
yes. And her pants have this, like, glitter racer stripe down the side. They're, like, motorcycle, leather legging kind of. She just looks so cool.
Ugh. I love her so much.
And like, it's crazy because this really is like the Whitney, kind of like you said earlier, this is the Whitney that people think of when they make fun of her too.
Yeah.
But like, I loved Whitney's whole vibe during this time. I really did. Me too.
I feel like it was right before it got like kind of bad for Whitney. Like it was, yeah. I feel like 2001 was like the actual like decline, but
right.
I don't know, it was so good to like see her, and then she like kisses over to Christina and Britney.
Yeah, and you can see Britney like while she's like pumping her fist while Whitney's singing "I Will Always Love You." And we randomly, so the video of the year nominees are Blink-182 for "All the Small Things," Eminem for "The Real Slim Shady," D'Angelo for "How Does It Feel." Shout out to D'Angelo, by the way, because he deserves all those nominations.
He was nominated for a lot and got nothing.
Nothing.
And that video was like, everyone was talking about it.
Oh my God. And like so timeless. Because yeah. He's naked.
The way it was shot was beautiful too. Like,
mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, I miss him. And then, of course, NSYNC for Bye 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 and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Eminem won, of course. But when Whitney presents the award, all of a sudden Bobby is like out on stage. He like came out.
And Whitney goes, free. Because like he just came out of jail.
Yeah. And she goes, Bobby, do you want to know who won? She goes, you want to know who won, Bobby? And he goes, honestly, right now, I don't care. Because he's like mad that he isn't being like, you know, he's mad that nobody cares. Yeah, yeah, like Whitney got a standing ovation and she sang "I Will Always Love You" for a minute and everybody's going crazy and nobody cares if Bobby's, nobody even knows if Bobby's on stage. So he's clearly very, Bobby's pouting on the VMA stage live on television. So Eminem gets up on stage and he brings up Britney and Christina again. And yeah, it's just like these men were just so reliant on the headlines that came with Britney and Christina.
Oh yeah, he's like, I'm gonna put this right between my Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera poster. Like, okay, right. No one asks, no one cares.
Yeah, and Kid Rock's like,
yeah,
got like, it.
They're both 18 years old and you're like 30, so chill out.
Right, like Britney just performed and basically shut down this entire production.
Yeah.
Nobody is even gonna remember that you won these VMAs tonight, sir.
And I think one of my favorite moments in the whole show is when Whitney is announcing who wins. She goes, Eminem, and just like throws the card down. Oh my God.
Eminem, you're so right. Oh my God. yeah, so now let's talk about these performances.
Oh man.
So the opener was none other than Miss Janet Jackson. And
the icon.
The icon, the queen, the Chanteuse, she performed Doesn't Really Matter. Again, peak, like, post-apocalyptic Y2K Janet.
Yes, it was, like, very Matrix-inspired, like, the outfits, at least. And then she gave us, like, four different dance breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Obsessed.
Yeah, she danced so hard, non-stop, the entire performance. Yes.
No break.
No moment of even just standing there. Like, it was amazing. Yeah, we love Y2K Janet, just like iconic.
Oh, the best.
Rage Against the Machine. I have not a whole lot to say about that performance.
Same.
They broke a TV with the guitar, real rock and roll.
They broke some things at the end of a performance. Ooh.
I know. It's scary almost. Then we have an incredible performance from Mr. Cisco himself.
Yes, Cisco. He is so underrated.
Tell me about your love of Cisco.
He is such a good performer. Like, and he's like funny, like in the opening. Like, he was the faces that he was making. Everyone needs to watch his performance. It's so funny.
He's funny.
Like flipping and like moving all over stage. He used every inch of that stage to perform.
I know. And at the beginning, honestly, he did a little like R&B medley before, just like pure Drew Hill, just like literally keeled over, holding his stomach and screaming, yay! yeah. Like just screaming, but like, so his voice is incredible.
Amazing. Because the thong song is so like gimmicky and like flamboyant that they forget like he has talent.
Yeah, like a real fucking like crooner, like an R&B singer. Yeah, and like I was just again reminded that he's 4 feet tall and that he can make it from stage A to stage B to stage C within seconds.
He's cartwheeling.
Oh my god. That moment where he like he did a full Naomi Smalls, like he glided across the stage by his foot.
Yes.
I was like, oh my god, like he's such a good performer.
And then at the end, he's like, who's performing next? And just like drops the mic.
He did say that. And I'm like, oh, the irony is that Britney Spears is performing next year. That's the ironic thing. Right. In 20 years, you're going to laugh at you saying that. yeah, so Britney comes out, of course, and does her, I mean, one of the most iconic performances of her career. Is this your favorite Britney performance from VMAs, or do you have a favorite?
I think Slave for You like beats it out by a little bit, but this is up there. Like, this is crazy. It's like the transition of Britney. You know, she's always like, yes ma'am, no ma'am, and this is her like, I'm gonna rip off all my clothes.
Yeah, this was very much Britney kind of like burying yes ma'am Britney, like the Britney that would go on TRL and call Carson sir.
Yeah,
you know, like this was the end of that kind of. And it's just like, you know, I had a very similar experience when I watched the last VMA episode with Russ. Like, obviously I've always loved this performance, but like seeing it in context with the whole award show made it feel very different. Like, I just know it to be like a great, amazing Britney performance because I've watched it so many times that way.
Yeah.
But like seeing it with the whole show, it was like, it just added a little extra element because it was like, wow, like no wonder this was so controversial. Look at what she did in comparison to, look at what she did compared to fucking Rage Against the Machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and you see the landscape of music at the time. You see that like there was no one else like Britney. Like there was no one else. And she was in her own lane and she killed it. Like, I always think of when you can see like the ripaway clothes coming off.
Right.
Like that's when I was like, oh my God, something's gonna happen. <You're right. laughs> It's coming.
Totally. Yeah. Cause it was like also during, you know, I feel like you have to kind of be of a particular age to remember this, but like there was no Britney performance for a long time without a little shock.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes a big, huge, massive, crazy shock, or maybe something as simple as her like dancing over to David Letterman on his desk, like tiny, but there was always something that made it a little pearl clutching just for a second.
And
obviously it became Britney's thing to just like shock people and have like a moment as Christina calls it, a gimmick.
Such a bitch, Christina.
Well, when you're an iconoclast,
and Britney dancing in sneakers is always iconic.
It's the best. Like, I love a Me Against the Music little kitten heel pointed boot moment, but there's nothing compared to Britney.
Oh, she gets down when she's in a sneaker. Like,
right. It's true. When she's in a thick Skecher, she will fucking, oh my God. But yeah, like, it was just incredible to watch this in comparison to all the other performances. And, you know, there was this moment after, like when it was over, where you could literally feel the tension in the room because everybody knows that they just witnessed something really crazy.
Yeah. Have you seen the, like her doing it before, like in rehearsal?
Yeah.
Like a full like hour thing leaked recently. And I watched the whole thing and I was like mesmerized at how like professional she is. And like, she was calling everyone baby. She's like, baby queen, try it this way. Like,
It's okay, baby.
And just like, just like watching them like rip the clothes off. And it's so funny that like it came off so easily. Cause in the rehearsal, like they have to like rip it off of her body.
I know. It's funny when you watch the rehearsal to see things like because we would have never known that things maybe didn't like work out exactly as they were supposed to, like random little steps. And it was interesting to see the rehearsal version of it, like that beginning part where she does rip the clothes off. Like, she's such a fucking professional that you couldn't really tell that things were, that it was going wrong, because the clothes were ripping off before she was supposed to, like you said. But yeah, like, now it's just part of a, yeah, so fucking iconic.
And I get chills at the end when she's like on the ground, like on her knees, and she's like flailing her hair back and forth, and she's punching the ground. Chills every single time.
The ground punch. It's like, if I wasn't gay before Britney punched that ground, when her fist touched dirt, I became a homosexual. I'm not kidding. It was her, that's her Thor moment. And of course, again, the camera purposely pans to Eminem, and the whole audience is losing their shit. And they pan to Eminem, who obviously knew that the camera was going to pan to him, because they always know that it's like set up. Mm-hmm. And he purposely is like slouched in his chair, and he's like kind of refusing to like indulge.
Yeah, he's like, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm. He's pretending to be bored. It's like, okay, like, girl.
Oh, you just witnessed that? Really? Okay.
Like, yeah, like you said earlier, you realize this is a 19-year-old girl. Like, you may want to ease up. It's a lot.
This beef is ridiculous.
It's a lot of heat for a grown-ass man and a child. Very attention-seeking. And then ironically, Eminem does his, what I suppose you would consider iconic, his Real Slim Shady performance, where he brings all the Real Slim Shadys, like the lookalikes, on stage. And another horrifically awkward moment that I didn't remember is, they're outside, and then they come into the theater together, and like it's timed so that when he says the line about who Christina gave head to first, that he's standing next to Carson and Fred Durst, who are seated in front of each other for this moment, by the way. Like, this whole award, like you said earlier, is orchestrated around these like four men. But he like kind of misses the cue. So he's got these guys following him, and he misses the cue, so he has to back up a little bit, and he tries to like give daps or whatever to fucking Carson, and Carson's doing his white guy headbutt, like head tilt for the song.
Ugh, Carson, I love him, but like, why is he like in on this? Like, I thought he was like the nice guy. Like, on TRL, he was always just like so nice to everyone. I'm like, why are you in this?
Like, I know. Like, it makes you look so petty to be in on a joke about who Christina gave head to. You're a host.
Right.
And you're sitting with fucking Tara Reid, which I cannot get over.
I know.
It's just like, oh my God.
Carson, I was thinking, I'm like, when they were dating, like, what did they talk about? Like, I feel like they didn't have anything in common. Like, just.
I mean, because, well, the weird thing about Carson, though, is like, who is he?
True. Yeah, he's very like cardboard. Like, he just soaks up whatever personality that he's with.
Yes, that's exactly what I always say. Like, yeah. It's like he has no, it's like the reason that he worked so well for TRL is because he has no likes or dislikes or anything. Like, it's like, yeah, he'll present Rage Against the Machine as earnestly as he will Mandy Moore. It'll be the exact same.
It was so funny though, because on TRL, when like Eminem would come, he would like dress with like saggy pants and like a big shirt. And then when Backstreet Boys would come, he'd like dress like the Backstreet Boys. Like,
right. Yeah. And he would totally code switch. Like, if he was talking to like Diddy, he would try and sound really cool.
Oh, yeah. So embarrassing.
But if like 98 Degrees was there, he'd be like a total like queen about it.
Yeah, totally. He'd be like, oh, I'm one of the bros. Hey, 98 Degrees. Like,
he'd be like, any fun festive plans you guys have, any mistletoe or anything planned for you guys, mistletoe ladies or anything? But yeah, so that whole thing made me want to roll around on glass, to be honest. And
Eminem's just like a bad performer. Like, terrible. the way he moves his hands are like annoying, and then I feel like he was lip syncing the whole thing.
He was lip syncing.
And people would like get on Britney's ass about lip syncing. Meanwhile, Eminem's right there doing the same exact thing.
Right. And all he's doing is walking.
Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
She's doing a full stripper set and punching the ground.
Yes.
He's walking. So I don't get it. And it also honestly just made me realize, like, you know, listening to him and being reminded of like the impact that he had culturally. Like, he won every award this night. He literally was one of the most famous people in the world. And I was just like, God, if he was famous now, like trying to get away with a lot of the shit that he got away with, or even just trying to be like the center of attention in the way that he used to, people would not be about it. Like, he just would be able to do it now.
Yeah. And I remember watching like a full thing of the VMAs with like the commercials in it. I remember after his performance, they had a commercial for like anti-bullying and like anti-gay slurs and all this stuff, like mainly because of him, because MTV was like, we got to cover somehow.
Yeah, he just, and like his whole thing is like, you just want to kind of tell him to shut the fuck up. And not because he's like a white rapper, but because it's like his whole persona was based on just like male ego and like misogyny. And I don't know, like, he just like makes me kind of sick. And he's intensely threatened by women. Like,
intensely. Young women.
Yeah. Like, he can't handle it. It's weird.
Yeah, I was like revisiting like the whole Christina and Eminem feud. And I was like, what did she even say that pissed him off that bad? So I guess it was like an interview. And she's like, yeah, he's really cute. But I think he's married. And like, he's married to the woman that like he writes songs about killing. Ha 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 ha. And like, she's just stating the truth. Like,
yeah,
what are you pissed about? Don't put the song out if you don't want her to talk about it.
Exactly. And I remember her, she had said something like, she had said something like, you know, I would tell young girls to be careful of men like Eminem, which she has every right to say. He writes songs about killing his fucking girlfriend and putting her in a trunk.
Yeah.
So it's, as a public figure and as a young girl who's like, talked about domestic abuse and growing up with her dad beating up her mom,
right,
like, why would she not make that statement? And then it's just like, the whole thing is, when you're looking back, it's just like so gross.
It's disgusting. And like, now, like, I was thinking about like what it would be now. Like, that was like if Olivia Rodrigo, she's like 18, and like MGK got into like some weird fight, like, what?
And everybody took his side and made fun of
her. So gross. It's
fucking nuts. Yeah, luckily that was the end of the Eminem show.
finally
after 3 hours. So then the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they had a little tribute moment, and then they performed. And I was also thinking, I had a weird moment with them where I was like, I remember like the Californication era being like them, it's like the second wave of their career. Because the MTV had did like a whole montage of all of their music videos dating back to the early 90s. And they were like talking about themselves like they were old. Like, the drummer was like, even if I have gray hair, blah, blah, blah. Like, he told his daughter, he like wished his daughter a good first day at school.
Oh, yeah. That was cute.
It was cute. And I was like, oh, yeah. I remember thinking that this was like Californication was like new music.
Yeah. They always gave me like VH1 vibes. Like, I would see them on VH1. So when they were on MTV, I'm like, what are they doing there? Like,
such VH. They are total VH1.
Oh, yeah. <That's> funny. Adult contemporary.
Yes. Right before or after Celine. So then we also got an NSYNC performance, which I think is very iconic. They started, I actually have a lot to say about this. So they started performing This I Promise You, which I love. And I just have to describe the looks for a second.
For a second. Paint a picture.
Okay. So they're wearing these Y2K, the future is now, or whatever, broken down tuxedos. And I love boy band looks. I just love the theatrics, right? So Lance is wearing a sleeveless, rhinestoned, with like glitter, button up, but then he's wearing a glitter cummerbund on his on his belly. And then Justin is wearing like a custom like Lisa Vanderpump handmade shirt, you know, but, like, with like rhinestone cufflinks and like rhinestone, and it's a ruffled like old school like 70s tuxedo shirt, rhinestones everywhere. They all look fucking insane. But the best is Chris Kirkpatrick is wearing a hoodie in the style of a tuxedo shirt. Yes. Sleeveless. And the sleeves are fucking glitter. He's wearing glitter sleeves. It looks like that 2017 like Gucci bodysuit that Rihanna wore.
Oh yeah,
like the Gucci mesh glitter suit thing. Like,
so ridiculous,
so over the top. I was like, oh my god, I love the camp and the pomp and circumstance.
They always brought it with the outfits, like just so ridiculous.
And then they end up ripping off the tuxedo looks to reveal these leather daddy looks underneath. And this is where we get the iconic television screen plasma TV performance where their heads are these TVs and their bodies are like, it's really cool.
Yeah, I love it. And JC gets that middle TV as he should.
I know. That's why I love this performance. Me too.
JC shines in this, and Joey too. Joey's dancing his ass off in this.
When JC is the lead, in my opinion, and I'm not even just saying this because I've always hated him, I actually really do think that the band works better when JC is the lead and Justin gets to have like his moments.
Yeah, totally.
But like JC is who should be leading NSYNC.
Totally, because he doesn't like do all the extra shit like Justin does. Like,
yeah,
he knows to give everyone else like their moment. Like, I love him.
He's just the best. And the thing that I always say NSYNC, like looking back, had some incredible performances. Like, they were really amazing performers. I've always thought that they just like worked so hard at being like unique and different, I always thought they were pretty good at. And you could always tell that they really took what they were doing very seriously, but they also, the thing about NSYNC that I liked was that they felt in on the joke about being a boy band.
Absolutely. Yeah, like with the outfits, like
they're just fun.
How can they not be on the joke with the outfits?
Right. And like, I love the Backstreet Boys, but I always felt like the Backstreet Boys took themselves just a little too seriously for me.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I didn't like boy bands at all. I just liked the girls.
Me too.
But now I'm like, NSYNC was the one.
Yeah. They're fun.
Performers. Yeah.
I always say that they are literally Euro trash pop stars, and I love it. Like,
oh, absolutely.
They're just like, you know, cow print chaps with thongs, and then that's my vibe. We also get a Nelly in the Saint Lunatics performance, very just classic Nelly in the Saint Lunatics. Like, they're walking around on stage screaming. Nelly looks really hot. They're all wearing their Air Forces.
It was a hot mess, but I liked it. And I didn't realize that DMX was supposed to perform, but like something happened. So yeah. Nelly like was told like that day, like, hey, you're going to perform on the main stage. And like, you can kind of tell because they're kind of just like running around. Yeah. But I think he did a good job.
You can definitely tell that they would have had some sort of set. I mean, they literally didn't even have like a bat, like they didn't have anything. They literally were just running around screaming.
Oh yeah. Nelly's pants were fully off of his body.
It's almost like they were trying to make the most of it. They were like, you know, we don't have anything prepared, but like, this will be fun. And they even like, there's a really funny moment where they jump off the stage and then they immediately get back on the stage like less than a second later. Cause they're like, oh no.
And Nelly's really good. Like, you know, usually when they do like live performances, like rappers, they'll bleep out like the swears. He's so good at like censoring himself.
Yeah.
The entire performance, there were no bleeps or anything.
Yes, you're so right.
So very impressive, Nelly.
Yeah, it was fun. It was very fun. It definitely took me back. I used to love Nellyville. That fucking album.
Oh, me too.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Oh, I played it until it melted in my CD player.
And I loved Sweatsuit with the two CDs.
Yes. He was iconic.
I do love
me
some Nelly. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, well, we have to talk about, we just have to absolutely fucking talk about.
We've arrived.
So, Christina Aguilera performed her now very infamous Fred Durst moment. I will say that obviously I don't watch this performance as much as I've seen Britney's, so it doesn't like live in my head in the same way.
Right.
And I did not know that Christina opened the performance with Come On Over, right? Come On Over, right? Or was it Genie?
She did a little bit of Genie into Come On Over.
Right. It was like a little medley. And I was like, oh, fun. Like, I love that era of Christina. I love Bleached with like the red and black underneath.
Me too. Christina. And she'd wear like the body jewels and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because she was the quote, my favorite thing that I learned in my Christina episode was that she was marketed as an Arabian Britney, like the nerve and the gall.
What? I'm like taken aback.
I couldn't get over it. So that's why there's always a detail of shimmer, because she's an Arabian pop star. Like, what? I mean, the first half of it was classic Christina. I thought it was really great. I will say it was interesting knowing Christina now and knowing how in control she is of her voice and her instrument and her using her body like a tool. Like, it's crazy to see Christina not know how to, like, not be winded and stuff, you know?
Yes.
She's such a baby.
I know. And she tries her hand at a little dance break, and she tried.
It was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot.
I cringe when I see Christina like dance, like try to like actually dance, like back in the day.
I know. I didn't know about this dance break. I was like, it was very awkward. It was really, you could tell she was a step behind on everything, and she was just trying to keep up on these platforms. And then she did some acrobatics where she got down on the ground and she did one of those, like, you know, in gym class when they make you pick 8 acrobatics to do in middle school, they're like front tumble, walk in a straight line, cartwheel, whatever. She did like the middle school on the mat front tumble.
Yeah. She has like a tuck and roll and just like rolls over super quick.
It was so weird. And then one of the dancers like dove over her while she tumbled. And then in the last, and it's literally 1 minute of the performance, he just comes out and scream raps with her.
Yeah. It's like when you hear like that music and you see like his backwards red hat, I tense up. Like,
yeah, totally. I was like, and they didn't interact on stage.
No, he like lunges at her and she like flinches back and he's like circling her. It's very awkward.
You could tell that he felt a little too cool to be there. He literally ran off the stage when it was over.
Oh, yeah.
And then she felt embarrassed because they didn't do any sort of hand-in-hand bow or anything. So then she ran off. And Christina really truly thought that at that moment she was the last true rock star living on this world, like on this earth. Like, she was giving just pure 80s rock Motley Crue energy.
Oh, yeah. Her like wailing while jumping is so funny to me. It's so funny. It's like, while he's screaming in the back too.
Oh my God. It was a mess. Poor Christina. And if she only knew what the press was going to be the next day, my God.
Oh, I know.
And just the way that performance would change the next decade of her life, having to respond to Fred Durst publicly all the time and him claiming to have had sex with her, and like just the whole thing was just so gross.
I know. Have you ever seen the behind the scenes of the David LaChapelle photo shoot where he did like, it's like the class of 99 where it's all like the gold and it's the girls in the gold bikinis? There's behind the scenes video where Fred Durst is like hanging out with Diddy and he's like drinking like some alcohol, and like Christina and Britney are like just sitting down, and he's like, and Fred Durst is like, Christina, come here, you shouldn't be sitting on the floor. And he like tries to hit on her and she's like, are you drunk? And he's like, no.
And he goes, there's a part where he goes, he was like, I want to hit on you, but I'm mic'd right now. And Christina wants nothing to do with it. And she turns and looks at him and goes, like, she flips her hair off her shoulder and turns right the fuck back around. But I mean, unfortunately, Christina did have a real major public crush on him. And, you know, I bet she really regrets like that year of constantly talking about how hot he is and how she likes bad boys and boys with flavor.
I know, like, if they were like 18, 19, like the things I were to say if I was 18 or 19 and a celebrity, like, oh, it sucks that I could haunt them.
I know. And just like trying to find your place and,
yeah,
you know, yeah, it's fucked. That whole thing is just very traumatic. Like, I can't even, for me and Christina, we're both dealing with it.
Reliving it was traumatic.
Yeah, and then the last performance of the night is Blink-182, which feels very fitting. They performed with a mob of little people, which was highly inappropriate. And for any Little Women Atlanta fans out there, yes, the boss bitch herself, Tanya, was up on stage. Did you see Tanya?
I need to rewatch it now. Oh, my God. Oh, is she wearing, like, the black skirt?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God, I knew her from somewhere. Yes,
her smile. I was like, that's Tanya. Oh my God. but yeah, that was the year 2000 VMAs. It was so fun.
It was a lot of fun. Like, the entire thing was like such a joy to watch. It was, parts were cringy, but like, that is gonna happen. It's the year 2000.
Yeah, and I honestly would say for any like younger person listening to this who maybe hasn't ever seen in full the old VMA, like full VMAs, not like the performances, but like the whole award show, this is one that I would suggest watching, because it really gives you like the energy and the spirit and the vibe of like what the VMAs were. I think like it's lightning in a bottle, honestly.
I love it so much. And one more thing, so I was like looking, I was like, where was Mariah's video for Heartbreaker? Like, I think it came out a year before, but like, I was thinking like, Mariah has not gone to like any VMAs. And I feel like Tom Mottola has a thing with like, he's somehow blacklisted her from the VMAs and like gets J-Lo all the awards.
That would not, honestly, that would not be shocking, because J-Lo always has such moments there.
Yeah, and she like is, there's so many photos of J-Lo at like different VMAs, and Mariah, it's like only the ones in the 90s that she attends.
Wow, I've never thought about that, but you're completely right. And Mariah had videos that were like being played on heavy rotation.
Like, Heartbreaker was a piece of art, and that should have won an award.
Yeah, if Pink can be there with her fucking Liberty spikes in her hair for having a song. But yeah, well, do you have any closing thoughts, I guess, about the 2000 VMAs?
No, it was just so much fun to rewatch. I want to rewatch like all of them now.
I know.
So I'm so addicted to award shows.
I know. I'm like, now I want to watch like, I want to watch the really random ones that like the 2005 ones I just have truly not thought about, you know?
Yeah. Like when Diddy hosted, I think that was one of the years in Miami or something. Like,
I've got to do 2007 soon. Work through that trauma. I think it's time.
Have a little therapy session.
Right. Well, thank you so much. This was as fun as I thought it would be, a million times more. I'm so happy that I chose you to do this with.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me back on.
You're so welcome. We'll tell people where they can find you on the internet.
You can follow me at LittleTrash2004 on Instagram. And if you want to follow my Twitter, where I just say stupid things, that's at BridgeGush, BridgeGush.
Well, you guys, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I'm going to be doing more of these. Hopefully we'll like venture out of the VMAs and maybe do like some Billboard awards. I'll just love to see where Ashley Simpson performed, and I will incorporate them into the rotation, basically, selfishly. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.